broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendrick.
Let me ask you about the value-added tax. Is there anything that this administration is doing to consider, calculate, pose in any way?
All right, gingers. We have Muhammad for you.
The law enforcement is trained in this law. It's specific.
Well, yeah, when I started to chase after it.
You have been tweeting me.
That's nasty, man.
World famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, because truth is our bitch on this show. And coming up, we will be talking with Father James McQuarters on comments made by the cardinal in Los Angeles that the anti-immigration law in Arizona is, what did he say? Nazi principles. I am, like you, beginning to wonder if it was worth it fighting Hitler, because if he'd been allowed to win, no one would ever use him as an example of anything bad, because he'd just go ahead and stick him in an oven or put him in a concentration camp. But because we beat his ass, now everybody uses as an example, and as an example, well, you know, Hitler. By the way, this chicken McNugget, well, you know, Hitler. Wow, I've got jock itch. Well, Hitler did. 877-876-PHIL on the line with me this evening. For another segment, because we've had a lot of response to our discussion here on Trey Parker and Matt Stone's Muhammad episode, where they have Muhammad in a bear costume. And you heard a little bit of the episode there, as a matter of fact, in our opening montage. Maybe I should play it all. This is an actual clip from the show, South Park, in which Muhammad, because they don't want to show his image, that would be against the religious prescriptions of Islam, they put him in a bear costume.
All right, gingers, we have Muhammad for you. Now hand over the detonators.
Nuh-uh. First you gotta prove that's still Muhammad in there. Have him step out of the bear costume.
Oh!
Dude, we can't do that. Show us it's Muhammad or South Park is finished!
I know, that was from the episode, I believe it was airing tonight. And it probably already has aired. Raj Fanin is back on the line with us. I apologize, Mr. Fanin, that we lost the connection. You were making the point, and Don picked up the gauntlet, or picked up the torch, I should say, about American fast food habits.
So the point that I wanted to make was the following. My son goes to an American school, and I pick my son from school.
Okay.
And we go to McDonald's, we go to Wendy, and he wants to get this French fry. But I noticed, and I know that the Professor Mitchell said, that if you are a body line, a man is going to kill you.
Yeah, the point that I was making, Sean, was that a man would, you get between a man and a double down. You know,
that was it, a man and a double down.
What's a double down?
My understanding is a new sandwich.
Yes, it's a new sandwich at KFC. That you are going to be a victim of violence. And how can you say that the people of Islam are irrational or are not not
They're not being sane.
Yes, they're not being sane if they threaten to kill because you put Muhammad in a bear suit, but you can say, I'm going to kill you if you cut in front of me to get a double down.
Well, nobody is nobody's countenance, no one's saying that that's the right thing to do. No one is saying that.
No, America's fast food is very important.
No, but no one is saying it's legal in America to threaten someone with violence if they cut in front of you at a KFC.
Well, that's a good point, Phil, but if I could just make a point.
Go ahead.
No one's saying it's legal, and yet we all, in our heart of hearts, understand that if someone were to strangle a man, let's say, just for want of a better, who went in front of you at a Popeye, and you're in there for an eight-piece or what have you, and you strangle a man, you would have about half the crowd on your side.
That's my point.
No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't at all.
I think you would.
No, you wouldn't at all. If I saw that happen in a Popeyes, a guy getting strangled because he cut in line, no, I'd call the cops just as sure as hell. Here is James in Fresno, California. We're talking about Trey Parker and Matt Stone's South Park episode. Go ahead, James.
How you doing?
I'm fine.
I'm calling. Yeah, the comments that I don't know if he's a, what is he, a professor or a teacher there in Washington. I know a lot of Muslims that they don't preach that. They're not extremists. To me, that's just an extremist. Their values, and a true Muslim doesn't believe in that.
Okay, well, I don't know who you are. I'm a professor on a major university campus, and I know Muslims, and they can get very upset when you say that Muhammad, you know, wears army boots and his wife was ugly or something like that. You know, Muhammad was a businessman. He was a good businessman.
What? I understand that. I understand that they get upset, but it doesn't give them the right to threaten anybody. That's why we have laws here in the United States.
If I could ask this man a question. Have you ever got married to somebody because they bought it in line for a Wendy, you know?
Well, he's asking, have you ever gotten angry at someone because they got in line at a Wendy's?
Let me clarify something for you, okay? I'm in law enforcement, so I get threatened all the time, okay? But that doesn't give me the right to threaten them with death or violence. You know, I have laws that I have to uphold. And that's why America is what it is today, because of the laws of our founding fathers.
I certainly do understand. Yeah, I do. I understand that. But if a guy got in front of you,
I think the gentleman. Yeah.
The gentleman I'm speaking to. It seems to me like maybe what's really going on there is you're defending your students, maybe because you're worried about the repercussions from them. If that's the case, you know, and you're feeling threatened from them.
I get along very well with my students. I'll assimilate them, and I know how to say that. And because I know how to say that, and I do it.
You know what an iman is, right?
Say that again, sir. I'm sorry.
You know what an iman is?
Yeah, it sounds like it's a mountain or it's some kind of a topographical feature.
An iman, right.
An iman, iman.
Yeah, an iman.
Oh, that's the iman. I thought you, it's a cartoon.
No, an iman.
Iman.
Yeah. Well,
I'm sorry. I know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I say that to the students.
Well, we already got that.
Yeah, I know about that, too. And like I said, that's because I have a lot of Muslim friends. And you know what? We all joke around, and we make comments sometimes. But and we joke about race.
I am a Muslim. I can tell you, I am a Muslim, and I would never. You know, I don't like to see Muhammad in a bear if they put him in a panda suit. But
I understand
I
that.
I see Americans say, if you butt in front of me for a double down, all bets are off, you know?
What is a double down? What are you guys talking about?
It's a new sandwich from KFC.
Okay, so it's a new... All right, James, listen, thank you very much for your service to our community. So I got to take one more call before we break. Here is Isaac on the Phil Henry Show with Don Mixa. Go ahead, sir.
How you doing, Phil? I'd like to talk to your guest. The whole time I'm listening to him, and he's keeping saying the same thing. I speak the language, and he barely even can pronounce it right. My name is Isaac, and I'm from Egypt. I'm Christian. That's the only difference. So I speak the language fluently.
I come from Egypt, too.
All right, hold on. We got three guys talking at once here, okay?
Phil, I'm talking to Don. You're talking. He's saying.
Don, are you there?
You're talking. You cannot even pronounce it right, and you say yes. I speak it, and I know it, and I can speak it. And
they were talking to me about my Muslim students, and do I get along with my Muslim students? Of course I do, and I talk with them, and I say
I thought you spoke the language. That's what you told Phil earlier. Did you say that you speak the language?
What I meant to say is I speak the social language. You know, we get at Starbucks. I drift from table to table. what I meant.
Okay.
Yeah, but if you're going to say that phrase, do you know the phrase, Isaac? What, it's a standard greeting, right?
Yes. This is like, this is like introduction to speak to somebody in Muslim. It's pronounced Assalamu Alaikum. Okay, so if he cannot pronounce this, which he did not say this at all, he does not even know the introduction. It's like, good morning, Phil. That's exactly what this is in English.
Right.
Or, hi, Phil, how you doing? If I cannot say this, that means I cannot speak English. Okay, and the other thing is, I'm sorry to tell you this, Phil. I hate to tell you this. The sad truth is, you know, the Muslim that participate, or the Muslim that practice the religion, okay, they're the bad ones. The ones that are cool,
What about the people that they get angry if you go and you go to, you know, I said to Phil, Burger King.
Not the case. Okay, seriously, Phil, are we going to be talking about...
Are you guys still on with this Burger King thing and talking about KFC? You guys are talking
about something more important here? Because
this is a religion. This is American religion. This is American religion. This is American religion. This is KFC. This is Burger King. This is Wendy.
What is this got to do with what we're talking about?
I wanted to say to this gentleman, Phil, I want to say to Isaac, Balalakarala.
You cannot pronounce that either. Pronounce it wrong.
Barakala.
Okay, God bless you. Yes, that's what he said.
I just talked Muslim to you.
Wait a minute, Don.
You know what? Let me tell you something. It doesn't make sense for you to talk Muslim to me. Okay.
What's Muslim?
Yeah.
Let me finish here. First of all, it doesn't make sense for you to talk Arabic. We on a freaking national American radio station.
We're in America. English.
I bet you a lot of Americans getting offended right now how we're talking in Arabic and they cannot understand it. See, that's offending here. So we need to, you guys making a big deal.
I'm trying to say to my students that I, you can trust me. We can hang. I hang with my students, and I say, all right, if I'm not saying it right, they generally know what I'm saying when I say Allah Malak Salaikum, or however you say it. I don't have to say it right because they know what I mean.
Wait a minute. If they're Muslim students, they're going to want you to say it right. And why do you have to talk that way, like Isaac was saying, you're in America?
Why do people put it killed for Burger King?
What is it with Burger King, man? That's not a religion. That's a fast food place.
It is a religion of the American. Here's one. Inshallah of Allah, we will share a cup of coffee together and talk it over.
I don't think so.
Well, I don't know
But, Phil, let me tell you something.
Yeah.
Here.
Go ahead.
The thing is, Phil, you know, if Don knows exactly, okay, the thing is, if the Muslim, like, if his students are practicing their religion the correct way, which is in the book, they're not even supposed to be friends with Don. This is against the religion. Okay? And, hey, Don, my name is not James. My name is not Mike either. Okay? I'm Egyptian, so I know exactly what I'm talking about. So you're not going to be like, I know the language or this or that. I know exactly. I studied this in school over there, okay? So I grew up there. It's not even...
His name's Isaac.
Well, that's a black guy name, the name he's got.
Well, what do you mean a black guy name?
A white guy's name, Isaac.
What difference does it make, okay? He's saying that he is well-versed in this. He understands. He was born in Egypt. I know you were born in Egypt as well, Raj, but the fact is you are coming from a politically charged point of view.
No, I said to my son, if a man will kill... for a whaler, or, you know, the BK fish, that's it.
Yeah, the BK fish. People die, and no one cares. But Isaac comes on and says that if I say Muhammad in a panda suit is a bad thing, Isaac laughs in my face. And I don't think that's right.
No, he didn't laugh in your face. Isaac, thank you for your call. Thank you very much, Don, for your call. Thank you very much, Raj, for your call. Thank you very much for you guys listening.
You didn't mention Todd.
Todd?
Todd says you sound like a real douche.
Thank you. 877-876-PHIL. Since when is Burger King part of the discussion?
Well, I thought it was a good point a lot of them were making about how religion... I mean, what's the difference if you go get a... What's the difference if you get a BK fish or if you go and pray?
Okay, bud.
No.
Look, man, don't get heavy with me, you know, because you ain't heavy enough. 877-876-PHIL. And is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. More of your phone calls, plus bisexuals sue a gay baseball league over discrimination. Whatever. Phil Hendry Show.
I wanted to make another point, Phil, if I could, about the fact that I got table-to-table with Starbucks.
Phil Hendry.
Favorite topic here. We just have a few minutes before we get to the bottom of the hour. We have Father James McCorders coming up next hour to talk about the immigration laws that are being changed in Arizona and the reaction to those immigration laws from the L.A. Cardinal, Roger Mahoney, saying that it's, quote, Nazi techniques. And I know that he probably doesn't mean literally, or does he? You know. So we're going to hear from Father McCorders about that one, I'm sure. Volcano slows global warming. Now, for a number of days, I have been looking for articles that are talking about the volcano in Iceland, which I will not pronounce the name of because there's no need. You know, just there is no need. It will forevermore be the volcano in Iceland.
Yeah, well, they got a jacked up name. Yeah, but what people will call it?
They'll call it the volcano in Iceland. Whether it get, because it has a jacked up name. In any event, I haven't read one article, not one. There's got to be some out there. My staff hasn't been able to dig up an article having to do with the well-documented, and I mean well-documented effects of volcanoes on climate. Well documented, from Krakatoa to Tambora to the dry fog of the 6th century that occurred as the result of what they thought was a volcano. It could have been a comet, but most, I believe, most geologists agree that it was a volcano. But not one article has been written by the media today, our modern 2010 media today, not one has been written. There's only one here. The Wall Street Journal talks about volcanoes slowing global warming, but that has to do with the fact that it's kept jets out of the sky. It's kept the air traffic out of the sky, so there isn't the expulsion of CO2 into the atmosphere, and so therefore global warming, quote-unquote, is slowing, according to the Wall Street Journal, if you're into that kind of thing. But there hasn't been one bloody article written by nobody about how the volcanoes in the past, if they have been big enough, and if they have spewed enough gas and enough soot and enough pumice and enough debris to actually affect sunlight, that they have had an effect on climate. Nothing. And I was asking the guys during the break, and I said, well, I'm going to go for the obvious. You know, because they said, well, you know, maybe we try to come up, we try to give them the benefit of the doubt. I said, I'm going to come up with the obvious. I think they're too stupid. I, honest to God, I think the reporters today are too stupid to have figured that one out. Maybe they don't have a grasp of anything other than, you know, what they usually have a grasp of. Maybe they don't know history. Maybe they haven't read up on it. Maybe they don't really know that much about volcanoes much before Mount St. Helens. I don't know. But there hasn't been a one. Now, this is a volcano. Its relative strength and size compared to Krakatoa, who knows? It's probably smaller. Maybe it's not creating the kind of cloud cover. But there hasn't been even speculation. There hasn't been even an article written that would make anybody feel better about it. No, don't worry about the whole thing with, you know, the climate change because the volcano. Nothing. These guys just. And I'm telling you, folks, it's a great example of what we talk about on the show all the time. People are brain dead when it comes to history. They just don't even get it, man. Do you understand that if we had some discussion, we might be able to clear up for people any fear they may have about what this thing is and what it can do? I mean, there just isn't any grasp of it at all. All right, coming up, Lane Bryant says her ad campaign featuring a plus-size model was censored by Fox and ABC. Big deal. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil. Ben Roethlisberger, the Steelers quarterback, has been suspended for 6 games, like we figured he would be, because he's dealing with the commissioner of professional football by the name of, well, it's not important. He's a real badass. Let's put it that way. Roger Goodell. Super Bowl star Ben Roethlisberger takes his share of hits as a quarterback, according to ABC News, but none as stinging as the rebuke from the NFL commissioner, Roger Goodell. There is nothing about your conduct, he said, that can remotely be described as admirable, responsible, or consistent with either the values of the league or the expectations of our fans. So we slapped Roethlisberger with a 6-game suspension over allegations of sexual assault in March. Now, he was not convicted of this, but there is still the chance of a civil suit. For those of you who are immediately saying, and I don't blame you, wait a minute, dogs fighting and Michael Vick gets thrown out for, you know, like for the season at least. I forget exactly what the suspension was for Michael Vick, but I think it might have been at least one season. And eventually I think what happened was the Falcons just said get lost. The thing of it is he was convicted of the crime. Roethlisberger was not convicted. Specifically, this was a 20-year-old college student who said that Roethlisberger bought her alcohol shots at a bar and then raped her in her bathroom, though the local district attorney said there was not enough evidence to press charges. Goodell doesn't seem to care. Well, wait a minute. What do you mean Goodell doesn't seem to care? You don't have to be convicted of a crime or even charged with a crime, said Goodell. Well, he's right about that, but my question is this. How is it that this guy gets six-game suspension for the allegation of rape? And it doesn't matter whether a crime was committed or not. And Michael Vick is, like, gone for the dogfighting thing. So it has to have something to do with the conviction. Otherwise, you wouldn't have thrown Michael Vick the hell out with the bathwater and keep this bum Roethlisberger sitting around. Not that either one of these guys I would want to have anything to do with outside of maybe watching them performing like the monkeys they are on Sunday and throwing a few peanuts at them. And when I say peanuts, I'm talking about, you know, a substantial amount of money. So Roethlisberger also faces a civil suit from another woman who claims he assaulted her in 2008. The NFL has been at the forefront of sports trying to clean up the men behaving badly image. In 2007, Goodell instituted a personal code of conduct telling players, you are held to a higher standard than the law. One thing people don't realize about this game of football is we have lines, demarcation lines, we have our bounds on the field, and we have our bounds off the field, said Deion Sanders. Pretty funny. And when you step beyond the lines, blah, blah, blah. Mr. Goodell wants to make sure that this guy is, you know, ready for life, not just football. The point being that Goodell has got a business interest as well. He's charged with protecting the business interests of the National Football League, and so he's doing the right thing. And I don't have any problem with this cat throwing people out, even if they haven't committed a crime. You don't, with your business, you realize that it is all about appearances. Commissioner Roger Goodell comments on his suspension of Roethlisberger.
We're trying to affect behavior here. We're trying to make people understand their responsibility, live up to that standard, and avoid making mistakes and use good judgment.
How much do you weigh what was in the police report versus that he wasn't convicted or even charged with anything?
As I said before, you don't have to be convicted of a crime here. That's part of our personal. We're trying to have early intervention so that we can avoid people having criminal activity and deal with the issues and try to get them straightened out so they can lead productive lives. And if they can be great NFL players, terrific.
right, ESPN NFL analyst and former player Darren Woodson reacts to the suspension.
I think the one thing that Roger Goodell understands is the NFL is a brand, and he's going to protect that brand in any possible way that he can. And I think the one thing he's going to do, again, he's going to be that guy to enforce everything that goes on. I don't think it's up to everyone else. It's up to Roger Goodell to make this decision.
I don't know. Wow. You know, I don't know why they hire the – I don't. You know, I've always said I don't know why they make it more complicated than they have to. The fact is that Roger Goodell is there, as Darren Woodson said, although Woodson's making it sound like some kind of real heavy revelation. Wow, listen to this.
I think the one thing that Roger Goodell understands is the NFL is a brand.
Well, that doesn't mean anything. Why don't you say what you're trying to say, which is Roger Goodell is there to make sure that business keeps coming through the door. Roger Goodell is there to make sure that the paying customers keep sitting their asses in the seats. That's why he's there. It's a brand. Would you guys knock it off? The National Football League is a business, and people are going to stop patronizing your business if they think that what you're selling is poison. They're taking their kids out to see this stuff, taking their family members out to see this stuff, watching it on TV, and if what you're selling is poison, they don't want it anymore. And Roger Goodell is there to make sure that he keeps the level of poison in the product to an all-time low. You might say that Roger Goodell is like the FDA, the one-man FDA of the National Football League. When these jackballs that get on these sports shows start talking about brand and that nobody else is going to make the decision with Roger Goodell, I don't know what the hell it was that Darren Woodson was doing other than playing football all those years for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and he was a damn good football player. But quit making everything so mysterious, Woodson, okay? You're not talking to me about some mysterious system of, I don't know what, man, like, you know, hocus pocus that the National Football League is a really strange. What this guy is doing is protecting business. Any one of you guys gets out of line, he's going to kick some ass. He's going to tell you to get lost. He's going to tell you, you guys stink, you're bad for business, get out of here. Period. Plain and simple. See? Arizona, you know, we talk about Arizona, and we bring up the fact that Arizona was told by the National Football League, you're not going to get a Super Bowl until Martin Luther King's birthday becomes an officially recognized holiday in your state. Now, let me ask you a question. You know, Arizona officially recognized Martin Luther King's birthday as a holiday. Do you think it was because of money or because they suddenly saw the error of their ways?
I think it was on account of money.
Yeah, me too.
Exactly. It was on account of money. It had nothing to do with them seeing the error of their ways. They realized that they weren't going to get a National Football League franchise. They weren't going to have the Super Bowl. They were not going to be a part of the really groovy, marvelous things that go on in America. They were going to be outcasts. They were going to sit down there in the desert like a bunch of hillbillies, like a bunch of desert rats and crazed miners. And they won't get to be a part of the mainstream. That's all there is to it. And the NFL can do business with anybody they feel like doing business with. So they decided that, oh, guess what? Martin Luther King's birthday. It's a beautiful thing. Bang! They're on the map. That's what moves people. That's what moves people. Now, the gay thing is going to move when it comes to money as well. The immigration thing, and it may never happen, but if we ever figure out, or if somebody finally sits down and says, here's what it means in dollars and cents when we affect the flow of immigration back and forth between the United States, and if somebody is able to show the people of Arizona, the ones that run the state, wow, this hard-ass attitude toward immigrants, it may be actually costing you money, you watch how fast all of a sudden they turn their heads around on that subject, too. All right, 877-876-PHIL. Coming back next hour, we got Father James McQuarters.
Phil Henry. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
So here's what I was talking about, okay?
This is the comet?
This is the comet. Comet smashes triggered ancient famine.
What about Ben Roethlisberger?
I was reading about Ben Roethlisberger while I was getting this information, okay? I don't care about Ben Roethlisberger, do you?
No, but I want to know whether or not he's going to play football. You say he's going to be suspended 6 games, and I think that's a very good point about Michael Vick.
Oh, it's horse. Look, Michael Vick got convicted of a crime. He got his ass pitched out. I don't know what, you know, goes through Roger Goodell's head. Roethlisberger didn't get convicted of a crime, although he says it doesn't matter whether they get convicted of a crime. So Roger Goodell, you know, and if people think that Roger Goodell is that much of a hard ass, he is there at the behest of the owners. So keep that in mind. All right, comet smashes triggered ancient famine. Multiple comet impacts around 1,500 years ago triggered a dry fog that plunged half the world into famine. Now they're saying that these are comets?
That's what it says when I went over to the website.
What website?
Right here.
Well, I can read New Scientist?
Yeah.
Historical records tell us that from the beginning of March 536 A.D., a fog of dust blanketed the atmosphere for 18 months. During this time, the sun gave no more light than the moon. Global temperatures plummeted. Well, this is a quote from where, I don't know. Global temperatures plummeted and crops failed, says Dallas Abbott of Columbia University's Lammet Doherty Earth Observatory in New York. The cause has long been unknown, but theories have included a vast volcanic eruption or an impact from space. Now Abbott and her team have found the first direct evidence that multiple impacts caused the haze. Evidence. They found tiny balls of condensed rock vapor or spherules in debris inside Greenland ice coves or ice cores, dating back to early 536 A.D. So when they go down into the Greenland ice, they can go down as far as 536 A.D. They have that sort of stratified, and they can look and find what the ice looks like, and they find these, what they call spherules, which is rock vapor. That is the product, they believe, of comets. A series of comets hitting the Earth. Well, if all it did was cause 1 year of so-called dry fog and the sun was no brighter than the moon, that doesn't sound all that bad, man.
No, I mean, big deal. It ain't even like that one movie what we saw.
Which, Deep Impact or whatever that was?
Yeah, remember that?
Well, I mean, let's face it. You know, Hollywood is going to take any... I mean, remember that movie Earthquake we saw the other night?
Man, that was the biggest load to talk about how Big Crack will swallow man up and everything else.
Yeah, the Big Crack will swallow man up, but I ain't... But enough about your girlfriend. Shut up.
You guys shut up. And your timing sucks, man.
What do you mean?
But enough about...
Yeah, spit it out, man.
Oh, look. Hollywood's going to take any event like that Earthquake flick, which is the worst movie ever made, you know, as far as right now is concerned in my thinking. I'm sure I'll think of another one in about 5 minutes. But the fact is that the earthquakes don't open up big-ass cracks and people fall in, and we don't have any direct evidence of anything like that happening. Now, the same thing with these multiple comets, man. I'm told that comets are such a disastrous event for the Earth that it murdered dinosaurs. You know?
Yeah, they sort of wiped them all out.
Like this comet hit Earth that was so heavy, man, it like destroyed all these dinosaurs that up to that point had been just walking the face of the Earth for 60 billion years. Now all of a sudden comes a multitude of comets, and it's like 1 year of darkness, maybe the crops fail, that's it, dry fog, boom, we're off to the races, no big deal. Now, this bull crap about how the sun gave no more light than the moon, one of the things about anecdotal information from history, this is very true. When people say he was a giant, like Goliath, well, who's the guy, Goliath, David and Goliath?
Yeah.
I bet you that cat Goliath was no more than like 6'8" or something, you know?
Oh, well, no, they said he was a giant.
Yeah, but it gets repeated in the retelling. It becomes bigger and crazier and goofier and, you know, I mean, I bet you he was like a big dude. He probably was about the size, I don't know.
Like maybe as big as like the Twin Towers or something.
What do you mean, the rockets?
Yeah.
Elijah one?
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe that cat from China or something. But what do you think, he was like 20 feet tall? No. The sun gave no more light than the moon. Well, global temperatures plummeted. Well, we don't really know how far the global temperatures plummeted. The fallout material was also laid down over several years, and some layers were particularly densely deposited. This suggests more than one impactor was involved. Abbott and her team have identified two possible underwater craters whose age range fits in the global dimming event. The first appears to have formed blah, blah, blah. Anyway, the point being that when these things happen, you know, they can affect the atmosphere. Now, they think that this was a comet. Maybe it wasn't a volcano. But the fact is, like I was telling you, these things do affect the way the weather goes. And as far as this being a multiple impact situation, this being a multiple, a series of comets striking the Earth, I guess that pretty much tells us that maybe it didn't kill the dinosaurs. I don't know, you know.
Yeah, but the one that killed the dinosaurs.
I don't know.
That was a big one.
Maybe, I don't know, man. You know, how the hell do we know? All I can tell you this much. A multitude of, how big is a comet and how many of them can hit the Earth and people are still alive?
Well, the one that hit and it killed up the dinosaur, we know about that. Now,
I don't know about that. No, I don't know about that. If that's a comet, okay. But then you're telling me there's all these little dinky comets that hit. Why don't you cats over there at New Scientist magazine take a subscription to MAD, okay? God.
Yo, they know what they're doing.
I don't know. A multitude of comets hit. Oh, okay. In 536 AD, huh? And all it did was create a cloud vapor, and that was it. And then the temperatures went down for 1 year, and the Earth, there's something wrong with that description. I don't think that the Earth was covered over with a darkness that was like the light of the moon. That's a very, very thick cover of soot and ash. And then 1 year later, everything is just all copacetic? No way. No way.
Well, why would they lie about it?
It's not that they're lying. They don't know what the hell they're talking about. They don't know what they're talking about. First of all, they're misreading the anecdotal information from that period of time. Secondly, I don't know. Okay.
Yeah.
877-876-PHIL. We got Father McQuarters coming up. And don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com. If you go over there and get a backstage pass, you can look at live streaming audio of the show. Tonight, it's been a very traumatic show behind the scenes. Very traumatic. I've been losing my mind. And guess what? If you have a backstage pass, you get to see that. Do I like losing my mind? No. But I might as well advertise it.
It's worth money.
Damn right it's worth money. McAfee antivirus program goes berserk and frees PCs worldwide. Or I said McAfee. Now, this is an antivirus program that was one of the first purchasable, or the first ones before they started allowing you these free downloads like Norton antivirus. People bought this McAfee. Computers and companies, hospitals and schools around the world got stuck repeatedly rebooting themselves today after an antivirus program identified a normal Windows file as a virus. McAfee Incorporated confirmed that a software update it posted at 9 a.m. Eastern Time caused its antivirus program for corporate customers to misidentify a harmless file. It's posted a replacement update for download. By the way, I got a virus alert from UPS.
What do you mean?
I got an email from UPS that Earthlink picked up as virus-laden. Somebody at UPS. You guys at UPS, maybe somebody's using your email address. I don't know, but that's what I got. You should check into it. So I got it from, like, Valerie at UPS. What the hell UPS is emailing me for, I have no idea. And then Earthlink said, well, you should know that we found a virus, and it was about ready to kill you if we hadn't stepped in and saved your ass. So I wrote them back, and I said, thank you very much, and... Anyway, McAfee said it did not appear that consumer versions of its software caused similar problems. It is investigating how the error happened and will take measures to prevent it from blah, 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 blah. Yeah, sure, right. How do we know? You guys don't even know what it is. And for all I know, this is the beginning of the end for your company. I'm joking, but, you know, you never know. The computer problem forced about a third of the hospitals in Rhode Island to postpone elective surgeries and stop treating patients without trauma in emergency rooms, said Nancy Jean, a spokeswoman for the Lifespan system. The system includes Rhode Island, the state's largest, and Newport Hospital. She said patients who required treatment for gunshot wounds, car accidents, blunt trauma, and other potentially fatal injuries were still being admitted to the emergency rooms. Well, that's great to know. And it's great to know that there's lots of gunshot wounds there in Rhode Island. Not. In Kentucky, state police were told to shut down the computers in their patrol cars as technicians tried to fix the problem. The National Science Foundation headquarters in Arlington also lost their computers. That's because you guys bought this McAfee antivirus? Just get the free Norton antivirus. And then they'll ask if you want to buy their really super cool upgrade, and you can say, well, you know, tell them that you want to, you know, you're considering it, maybe, maybe not. And then not buy it. All right, Father McWhorter is coming up next on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.